We're up to Perek Yutes Pasuk Chavav. Yesterday we Chavav Perek Yutes Pasuk Chavav. Okay, we stopped in the middle of this very difficult pasuk, where Eov says that I suffered. There are many interpretations of this pasuk. The edition that I use doesn't, you know, has different rishonim. Has the Sipurno, has the Ramban. Here it says the Ibn Ezra. Okay, let's take a look. Okay, v'achar ori pasuk chavav, v'achar ori nikpuzos. After my flesh, this also has been broken. Umibisori echeze eloka. And from my flesh, I see God. What does this mean? So simply it means, we learn the mitzudos. I don't have clarity in the mitzudos, but it basically says is that in addition to my flesh decaying and falling off my body, my bones are also broken. And therefore what? When the bones, the only one that feels the bones, the tsar of the bones, is the person who actually suffers. To the naked eye, to the observer, you only can see the flesh. So to an observer, the observer does not have a full understanding of how much someone suffers. An observer sees that this person's skin has fallen off, that right away, wow, this person must be suffering. But you have no idea the depth, the intensity of the suffering, because that can only be felt by the person whose bones are broken. So the breaking of the bones indicates a deep pain that only can be sensed and felt by the person who is actually suffering. Let's look at the Mitzudos Adavit Pasuk Chavav the Achar Oiri the Imkol Zeh Rabu Makoisi, and with all this my wounds have been increased. Ad Achar Shabolo Oiri Shavu Gavis Oetzem Hazos. After my skin has withered away, my bones are also broken. So the word nikbu means to break, and the understanding here is what's being broken are the bones. Im ki hayisi roye eloka umasig oso bedover ha'efsher, to the point that I see God. Umasig oso bedover ha'efsher yoser mimash ani roye umasig basari. My soul senses the judgment, the pain that God has brought upon me more than my flesh. It's not really clear what that means. It seemingly just means to say is that the suffering that I am going through is greater than anyone can possibly imagine, including my own body. My own physical body suffers, but my neshama, which here is captured in the metaphor of a bone, is even greater. That intensity of pain is even greater, which only I myself feel. Now, other Rishonim learn the word Eloka means judgment. It doesn't over here mean, it means, doesn't mean Hashem, means Mishpah, which means when I look at my own flesh, Echeze Eloka, I see how Hashem is punishing me. I sense the degree of intense punishment that the Shmokos bring upon me from this punishment. Okay, let's go now. The Pasuk of Zan is really a continuation. It's the same idea. Let's take a look very quickly at Pasuk Chavav in Rashi. Rashi seems to say the same exact idea. This, according to Rashi, is going back to the previous Pesukim. In the previous Pesukim, he's coming to complain that my friends do not want to redeem me. My friends only want to declare my guilt. They don't want to come to my defense. So this is a continuation. My friends don't want to redeem me. Ela achar makas ori. So the word achar is referring to my friends. After they witness and they mock me, and they add insult to injury by pointing out that my flesh has been wounded. Nikbu the nikru hakinita the haradifa hazos shamarti shehili kinokif echotech ba'oiri, and they continue to cut me off. Three different expressions of cutting off. Nikbu, the nikru, hakanita. Nikru hakanita means to chop off the branches. The haradifa hazosha marati shilu kinekef, and this relentless pursuit of my spirit, which is as if they're coming to cut me off.
You know, nikru is like lo sakifu pa'as samcha.
Don't circle. Don't encircle, right. So
to cut.
Yeah, but close. There means something to circle. When a person shaves off his payas, it means that the rest of his hiri becomes a perfect circle. Okay, so the basic idea is that after my skin has decayed and suffered, my bones are also suffering, and through this suffering, I see Hashem. Now, I saw one of the Farshim explain that this goes back, well, maybe we'll allude to it in the next pasuk, one of the complaints that the Eov's friends had against him was that he failed to reach his full potential. Eov, put aside the fact or the possibility Eov committed averos. Even if Eov did not commit any averos, they complained that Eov, you could have been a much greater person. You could have been a Baal Madrega. You could have grown spiritually. And the fact that you did not maximize your potential is equivalent to actually committing an avera. Eov here is saying that's not so. This I do see Hashem, Echeze Eloka, Umibisari Echeze Eloka, meaning that through my flesh or through my suffering, I have come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I see Hashem. Again, your complaint was, Eov, you should have raised your spiritual stature by coming closer to Hashem, and failing to do so itself is worthy of punishment. Here, Eov is coming to deny. That's not so. Umibisari, from what has happened to my flesh, from my suffering, Echeze Eloka, I see God. I have become a very holy person. I'm in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore I've achieved what was meant to happen through this suffering, and therefore enough is enough. I deserve now to be healed and to be restored to my health and good fortune, and certainly I don't deserve my friends to heap upon me insult. It's a very interesting interpretation. It fits very well into the theme, and definitely adds a nice flavor to these words. Unfortunately, we all hear this. People are very sick. Some of them, through their sickness, they write books and they go on a speaking tour, and they through the suffering that they've experienced, they actually say, Echeze Eloka, I see God, I see the world in a whole different light, I become a spiritual person. Okay, well, there are many layers of interpretation. He's telling his friends to stop insulting him. That's the main thing. Go back to Pasuk Chav. It's going to be quoted a little bit later, more often. This Pasuk Chav Aleph. Chanuni, chanuni, atem re'oi. Kiyad eloka nogabi. He says to his friends, stop insulting me. I can't take these insults. I can't take this criticism. Leave me alone. Why? What is his response? Number one, I did not do any averos. Number two, according to the Mitzudos, the second major complaint the friends had against Eve was, okay, maybe it's two, you did not do any averos, but you are not the person you could have been. You could have been a much greater person. You could have become a very holy person. You had great potential. You failed to reach that potential, and therefore you deserve to suffer for not reaching your potential. Here Eve is telling them enough of the insults. Number one, and therefore what? Leave me alone, stop insulting me, I did do an averos. And now he's saying here that I do see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have been raised to a very high spiritual level. I've reached my potential, and therefore I no longer deserve to suffer, and I certainly don't deserve you to heap upon me insults and complaints. Okay, let's see Pasuk Chavzai. Pasuk Chavzai says something very similar. Asher ani echezeli, what I see, the einai ro v'lo zar. There are things that I see that no one else sees. The suffering and pain that I experience is impossible for any other person to realize. I would come over to Asher ani echezeli, this that I see concerning myself, the einai ro, which my own eyes see, v'lo zar. It's impossible for someone else, a stranger, cannot see these things. And therefore, kalu chil yosai b'cheki, that's what causes my kidneys to be broken within my body. Now, kidneys, we've said many times, refers to the council, refers to Eitzah. I have no plan for life. My plans and my goals and my hope for life has been shattered. Cheki means inside. Echekeli means to be, it literally means to be what's etched, what's etched into stone. Here it means what's deep within me, what's the plans that I had within my mind, which they were using as a, we're using as a kidneys, has been cut away from me, and basically saying I have nothing, no one else can relate to this, to this degree of suffering. Let's see Pasuk of Zayin in the Mitzudos. Asher ani ko'imer, hinei, ha-makos so'ele niglim v'yudum lakol. My makos can be seen by all. Anyone that looks at me can see that I'm suffering. However, va'asher ani echezeli levadi, but there are things that I alone see, v'rak eini einai ro'u, only my eyes see, v'lo zar, and no, strangers do not see. Hu asher kolu kil yosai b'chiki. This is what has shattered my kidneys within me. Ki b'ze argish ani levad v'lo nira l'zulos. This is something only that I can sense and no one else can sense this. There are two parts to suffering. There's what other people can relate to, and there is a degree of suffering that no human being in the world can relate. It's impossible to actually sense the pain another person goes through. We have a chazal, v'yahavta l'reyacha kamocha. You shall love your friend like you love yourself. And the Gemara says, what do we learn from this pasuk? Biror lo misa yofa. That when a person is being executed, you shall select for him a pleasant death. The person is chayiv skila. So there are different ways you can stone the person. The rule, the first part of skila, he has to be thrown off a height of a distance. He has to be thrown down from it. So from which height, from which elevation is the person's body cast down? You can throw him down from a 100-story building, or you can throw him down from a three-story building. Chazal evaluated that if you throw a person down from a 3-story building, he will die. But why don't we do it? Why we should be mahader? Maybe we should put a person up 50 feet, 100 feet. I'll cause him to come down. His body will be shattered. So the Gemara says, what? Whatever the situation. So the Gemara says, no, you're not allowed to do that because Biror lo misav. You have to picture yourself, if you were dying, if you were being executed, how would you like to die? You would not want to be thrown down from a very high elevation because the body, upon impact, would be shattered, be mutilated, would be disgusting. So therefore, only throw him down from a distance where you just get the job done with the minimal amount of damage to the body. Biror lo, select for your friend a pleasant death. We have a misa srefa. So there are different ways. Technically, you can feel srefa. You can take a person, throw him into a fire, like what Nimrod tried to do to Avraham, or what Nebuchadnezzar tried to do to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. However, what the Chazal say? No, that's not a nice thing to do, to throw a person into a fire. It's much more pleasant. The person has to die through fire. We could, the most pleasant form of misa would be to pour molten lead down his throat. Biror lo misa yofa. So the question is the question. Why, if this Maimer Chazal is the least painful, so the question is, we have a pasuk, v'yahavta l'reyacha kamocha, love your friend as much as you love yourself. From all the different things that Chazal could have, Darshan could have used this pasuk, why did they choose to use this to describe the halacha of how a person should treat his friend when he dies? Focus on life. Just like when you walk into shul, you like when someone says to you good morning. So when your friend walks into shul, you should also say to him good morning. Just like you like to have a good meal, so you should make sure that your friend also has something good to eat. Why did Chazal select the laws of Misa and connect it to V'yahavta l'reyacha kamocha? So the Bali Musar answered this because it is humanly impossible for one to love his friend the way he loves himself. You can't read. Possible. There's no such thing. A person by nature loves himself. Yet the Torah is demanding that you should love your friend the way you love yourself. Just like I like a good meal, I have to make sure that my friend also has a good meal. As much as you work on yourself, you will never reach the madrega where you will feel someone else's needs the way you feel yourself. The only place that it's possible for a person to love his friend the way he relates to himself is when he dies. When you take yourself out of the picture. You're not no gabadaver. Death is not. death is not something that you relate to. I don't relate to it, he doesn't relate to it. So when we're selecting a form of death, there you can relate. Does a person think about dying? No. You don't think about dying. You think about living. It's something which is out of your mind. So when you're dealing with something that does not relate to you, that you can translate over to your friend. If you want to go and try to express a love in life, just like you love yourself, I love my friend, that's impossible. Le'nitna Torah le'malachei ha'sharis. Eiv here is saying exactly the same thing with regard to suffering. When it comes to suffering, you go in mevaka choyla, you go to a hospital, you go to some type of facility where there are people suffering. As much as you try to connect to the people and you try to mishtatef in their tzar, it is impossible. There's nothing you can. You can see the pain. You can hear him. You can see he's in agony, and you can hear him moan and groan, but you can't really relate to what is going through his mind. And that's what he says. He says over here in these two psukim, "Umi b'sari echaz ze'eloka." From my own flesh, I see God. What I see, no one else sees. Pasuk of Zayin, "Asher ani echazeli ve'einai ra'u v'lo zar." What is seen to me and what my eyes see, it's not possible for a zar, for a stranger to see and to behold. And that pain that no one else can relate to is what crushes me, is what dashes any hope I have to live out the remainder of my days with happiness. It's kalu, it cuts off, kiliosai, my kidneys. Kidneys here is a symbol for my plans and decisions I'm going to have, b'cheki, deep down within me. You want to say something?
No, I'm just going to say when you interpret it, I'll have to weigh up the public. I mean, great, it's all did in that way. It's similar to Hillel's principle, Masha Sendulacha.
Right, so Hillel just says a general example.
But as exemplified in death.
Right. So you try as much you possibly can to relate to in life, but it's not physically possible. It's not humanly possible. Therefore, we've discussed it in something which you can relate to. You can't relate to your friend, and you can't relate to yourself in death, because I'm alive. No human being really thinks what's going to be after he dies. If we would live with that realization, that image of us after we die, we would be tzaddikim. No one would ever do an aveira. Yeah.
I read a verse from the Baal Shem Tov on Ba'at Rorecha Kamoicha, which I found very appropriate. Baal Shem Tov says as follows: we each have our chesronos and our milos, so we know each other. You know the true self, right? You know who you are. And yet you accept yourself with all your chesronos as well. So he says, when you think about your friend, accept your friend.
Accept your friend with all his chesronos. Just like
Baal Shem Tov, it's a tired book. I have to, you should love it.
It's like, right. It's a beautiful art. So, beautiful art. Okay.
So that is a life thing. That the Baal Shem Tov is saying in life.
Well, of course, the ideal is, of course, we all know the Chazal. We all interpret it simply means that if you like someone to say hello to you, you like people to treat you, you like to be treated well, you also treat other people well. But when Chazal actually make a drasha, they don't make a drasha that concerns life. Their drasha concerns death.
But the Baal Shem Tov.
Right. Baal Shem Tov is a drush. Okay, in a chanam.
Okay. Accept it very much because you really think about it.
It's true, absolutely true.
People differently in life.
Absolutely true. Absolutely. Okay, let's go back to the Rashis. Let's go back to the Pasuk of Zion. We did Pasuk of Zion in let's go back to the Rashis. I didn't finish up the Rashis. Go back to the Rashi Umi Basari. That's a previous Pasuk. Ani Roy Mishpatim, my own flesh, I see Mishpatim. Eloka Lashon Mishpat V'Yisurin. Rashi does not learn the previous pasuk in reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi learns the word Eloka in reference to Mishpat. And he's simply saying that when I look at my flesh, I look at my matzav, my physical matzav, I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing upon me Mishpat. Kepasik Chavches. There is no chav zayin. Like next pasuk chav ches. Ki sarmu ma nir daflo, the shoresh davar nim sabi. What you should say is, ki he's now giving. Now he's giving them mussar, his friends. What you should say is, ma nir daflo. Why are you Hashem pursuing this innocent man? He continues his rebuke to his friends. Instead of giving me mussar and telling me I'm a rasha, I deserve to suffer. I failed to reach my potential. I'm a good for nothing. What you should be saying is, you should be defending. And you should say to me, saying to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kisamu, this is what you should say. Ma nidoflo, Hashem, what's going on here? Why are you pursuing this this innocent man. V'shoresh davar v'nimsa bi, is there a root? Is there a degree of evil that is found within me? Now let's see the different ways to interpret this puzzle. Let's see them to this puzzle one thing at a time. Chavchas, the chisamru, ki kein rohu asher tamru. This is what you should say, my friends. Lama nirgoif, O Saul. Why are you pursuing this innocent man?
Why are we? Lama nirdaf.
Ki kein rohu asher tamru. Lama nirdaf. Nirdof also.
So why are we pursuing him?
Kvichi ikor davar avo nimsabo. Is there anything which any sin that is found with him? Halo kol divrechem shabo alai hayisurim. All of these words, your complaints, that the punishment has come upon me by Rokoitze Shtadlus das es Hashem. This goes back to the approach of the Mitzudos, that the reason why I'm suffering is primarily because I failed to come close to Hashem to grow in the spiritual world. But if I already know what I'm supposed to, if I've already reached a madrega of where I've come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, imkein ma la'asos o, there's no reason why I should suffer. Okay, this goes back similarly to the previous pasuk Chavav, where he says umibisari echeze eloka, that I've already reached a degree of seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I've achieved the spiritual madrega that was required of me, and therefore there's no reason why I should suffer anymore. I'm interpreting the pasuk here in pasuk Chavav to mean kisamu man nirdof lo. What you should say is, why does this person continue to be pursued? V'shoresh, it's a question. V'shoresh davar nimsavi, is there the root of an evil matter? Okay, so davar here means an evil matter. Is it found within me? Do I still deserve to suffer? Of course not. I have suffered enough. Now we can not see Rashi pasuk chavches ki samu manir deflo kimo ki somar ki sam bilvavcha shumashamish lashem dilma kiloimar v'shetiyu noisnim libchem lachmol v'loimar lama nirdafnu. You should change your opinion, and instead of accusing me and heaping upon me insult, you should come to my defense and you should say, why is this person suffering? Similarly, Rashi is saying the same thing as the Mitzudos. You shall apply your hearts lachmol, to show compassion, v'loimar, and to say lama nirdafnu. Why are we continuing? He's not only saying to Hashem. He's saying, why are we? You should say to yourselves, ask yourselves, what are we doing here? We're crazy. Why are we insulting him? We should stop insulting him, and we should comfort him. You should say to yourselves, why are we pursuing this innocent man? V'shorish davar hanimsabo mahi lo'olam losale bilvavchem hatoiva hazos shorish davar al mahu oimed. You've never come to the point of truth to recognize what has he done that he deserves this punishment. Is there a shoresh davar that's nimsabi? Is there even the root of an evil matter that is found within me that I deserve to suffer? Of course not. And therefore you should ask yourselves the question, why are we continuing to insult this innocent man? Instead we shall come to his defense and to his support. Now Pasuk Chavtes is where he gives them very strong musr. He says to them, but it might be too late for you. You've already done so much damage. You're goners. Just wait a small amount of time and Hashem will severely punish you for what you've done to me, for the insult and how you've damaged my mental state. Guru lochem. What?
There's no tshuva.
Well, I don't know. There's always tshuva. Most of the time, there's tshuva. But he's trying to tell them, stand down, stand down. Guru lochem. You should be afraid. Guru means to be terrified. Lochem mipnei cheref. because Hashem will take the sword to you and kill you. He will destroy you. Everything that is dear to you will be destroyed by the sword because of the sins that you have committed by torturing me. Ki chema, because the anger of avonos chov. It's an explanation. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry because of sin, avonos, and in this context the sins that have been committed are the insults that have been thrust upon me, the punishment is choref, is the sword. And when you will suffer this punishment, then you'll finally come to the realization that there is in this world din v'cheshbon. Leman teidun, so that you should know shadun. Shadun is a very unusual word. The Rashi will explain. Shakamti dvora, it means shadun, means that there is din. The last three letters, dun, represents din, as if there's a yud, and sha means that there is. It's like sheh. Din. People live their whole life and they think less din, less than. They don't witness evil people suffer. They witness the Rishon succeed. They see the tzaddikim suffer, and they come to the conclusion that there's no such thing in this world as din v'cheshbon. But my friends, when you will suffer, when Hashem will direct His sword against you to punish you for what you have done to me, then you will come to the realization that there is in this world din v'cheshbon, and you will be judged by your own method. You keep on accusing me and telling me that there is in this world din v'cheshbon and I deserve to suffer. Wait until HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings upon you din v'cheshbon and you suffer, so then you'll get a taste of your own medicine. Pasuk of Tes in the Mitzudos, Guru Lachan Lizos, therefore, after this long speech of telling them of all these different ideas, which will be summarized in a few moments by the Mitzudos, Lizos Chidlu Mimeni, leave me alone, desist, separate yourselves from me. Upochadu Lenafshechem, worry about yourselves. Instead of giving musa to someone else, worry about yourselves. Bibnei Cherev HaPoronios, because of the sort of punishment that's going to come your way. Ki Hachema Asher Atem Koyasim Olai, this anger, this wrath that you direct towards me, al chinam hi, it's for nothing. He min hu avonos, and this sin that you're committing is from the type of sins asher cherev boho aleihem. The words are more dangerous than the sword. Insulting someone and demoralizing a person, and this is a very scary pasuk, is telling us that demoralizing a person with words is a very great sin for which the punishment is nothing less than death. That's what it says. Leman teidun, bavur ki atem teidun, and when you will suffer, you will become aware. Asher yesh din be'olam, there is judgment in this world. L'shalem le'ish kigmulo, a person gets what he deserves. Ki halo tishmetu, isn't that what you said? Aren't you the ones who advocated this principle that is din v'cheshbon, and I'm suffering because I deserve punishment? Ki tishpu sheyesh mashgich v'shalem yishalem. Aren't you the ones that also exercise judgment and say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays the Rasha for his bad deeds, and I'm a Rasha, I deserve it? L'zeh gulchem, I'm warning you, my friends. This exact idea should terrify you, lochem, because you're going to get what you deserve. Chilu mimen, therefore leave me alone. Now Rashi, the Mitzudah summarizes this entire parak. Ha'ile mihamane ha'hi, what is the summary of this chapter, of this response? Asher Yisroim al Re'ov, Loimar, Eov complains to his friend saying, Madua tarshiu osi, why do you declare me to be guilty? V'chi motzosem biyadimu umara, have you found a sin in my hands? Can you show me I've committed even one aver my entire life? V'im bavur machoivi ha'yisurim, just because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has brought upon me affliction, does that mean tishbitu sheyesh bi'avon? Rav, does that mean that I've committed great sins? Hinei lo'ichenu, that's a very big mistake. Al-ki-al-chinambo, because these afflictions have come upon me for no reason. V'im bavur koitzer hashtarlus, now here's a very important principle, this is a very important thing, which is what you have to go back to the parak and read this into the parak. This is how it's summary. And if you'll tell me, okay, fine, if you're right, maybe you did not do any averos, but your sin is you failed to maximize, to reach your full potential. You could have been a lot greater than you are. V'im bavur koitzer hashtadlus, the lack of effort, b'yidias Hashem, here are the key words. What?
His potential to understand Hashem.
To understand, to come close to Hashem. No, if could have been, he could have been a gadol hadar. Right? He could have been. He could have been a very holy person, a very great rabbi, or whatever. I don't know. I don't know.
Whatever his door that was. Specifically, though, his understanding of the Hashem's way.
Yes. Yes.
He didn't spend enough time or effort understanding.
He could have been a Baal Madrega. He could have been a holy person. He could have been. Yeah.
Saying that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. He could have had to understand Hashem that his friends are complaining that you're just an average guy. You're an average person. You're a very successful person. But you have great potential. You could have been a very holy person, and you failed to reach that spiritual level. And therefore, Halo Yodat, the Eve responds, is very important. These words, Ma Shevsher Lodas, I know what there is to know. He denies. This is the first time we've really come to this response in these last few psukim, is where he says, I deny that accusation as well. I have reached my full spiritual potential. Maybe not necessarily in my good years, but certainly now in my state of suffering, I see Hashem. That's seemingly how he's learning Echeze Eloka in the Pasuk Chavav. I see Hashem. I have reached my potential in the spiritual world, and therefore I no longer deserve to suffer. The Yigana Oysam, furthermore, what else does Eve do? He also complains, and he complains against his friend and disgraces them. Al asher yechorfu oso bidvarim, how dare you insult me? Ki yiyu meutadim, you are designated. You will suffer for what you have done to me, for demoralizing me. You are designated liporanios, for punishment, bavur zeh, for this sin of demoralizing me, lithi asher yishpituhem. And in fact, this will be a taste of your own medicine. You have continuously told me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes the Rasha for his evil ways, and that's why I'm suffering. So you should know, my friends, you're also evil. You're evil in your own way in how you speak to me, and Hashem will also punish you and judge you. Sheyesh mashkiach u'meshalem igbul, because there is a creator and he pays attention and he punishes people for their evil deeds. Now the word shadun is a very unusual word, and that's what Rashi focuses on. Pasik choftes in Rashi, ki chema shatem magdilim avon hamevi li decherev. You are committing a very great avera, the avera of speaking to me in a harsh way, and the punishment for this avera will be the sword. Leman teidun Vitovinu sod haparanus habo al harishayim. You will come to recognize, to understand the punishment that comes upon the rishayim. Period. That's what Leman Teidun. Now the Yesh Eim Limisaris. We have over here a precedent that the word shadun means din. Shadin ksiv. It says the way it's pronounced. Limisaris means the pronunciation is the Yesh Eim Limisaris. Shadin, it's spelled. This aim lemik. I'm sorry. Mesaris means the spelling. I'm sorry. The mesaris means the spelling. The symbol yesh aim lemikra. Yesh aim lemesaris. Yesh aim lemikra means the pronunciation, and yesh aim lemesaris means the spelling. The yesh aim lemesaris shadin ksef. The way it's spelled is with a yud. Kimo sheyesh, and what is the interpretation of the Mesoris, the way it's spelled, not the way it's pronounced? It's pronounced shadun, but shadun is interpreted in the pronunciation with the spelling, which is din. Sheyesh din be'olam. There is judgment in the world. Shadun, which means sheyesh din. Where do we find such an example in Tanakh, where we have a patach, and the patach means over here, it means that, kumo shakamti, it's a patach, shakamti, that's the Haftarah Parshas Peshalach, shakamti devora, I devora rose up, it means she'ani kom, kein re'isi bitanchuma, and that same type of usage, that word, that grammar is used here, shadun means she'yesh din bo'olam. Okay, now we go to Tzofa's response.
It sort of begs the question, why do you have the mikra?
Why do we have the mikra?
It's based on the mesoris, based on the way it's written.
Not all the time, sometimes.
Like this one.
Shadun. He's just saying that the word, the way it's pronounced is shadun,
right.
And shadun is interpreted to mean sheyesh din.
Which would be simply shadin, right?
No, we have to be yud, but there's a vav, there's a vav. The way it's pronounced is with a vav, shadun. Yeah. I hear the question.
Why bother with that? Why is it?
I don't know.
Because otherwise you've got enough words. You tend to be in the cipher, you count the letters.
Okay, you're right. I'm not sure. Okay, let's go further. Now we go to Sofer's response. Perikof. Vayan Sofer Hanamosi Vayomar. Now we come to the third. Now we're up to number 11. The 11th response. Okay, this is the third. This is the second time that Sofer responds, and it's going to be the conclusion of the cycle of the response of the three friends. So Vayan Sofer Hanamosi Vayomar Lochein Siif Siif.
So
not necessarily failed. Not a failed. It's a debate. This is a debate. Each one presents his side. Each one.
Let's shut him down. Give him his answer, and that's it. Come on.
So, if you want to look at it from that point of view, that's right. As a bill said, we have to analyze exactly your.
Well, no. So this might be the response, saying these are the words that we're telling you that will shut you up. It won't work anyway.
But he responded. He responded to that.
He responded, and now, but now we go to another response. Okay. Okay. So let's go further. Vayan Sofer Hanamosi Vayomar Lochein Siipai Yishivuni. Now, Siipai literally means branches. But in the context of this pasuk, it means thoughts. A thought is a branch of the mind. Okay, it's very interesting. It's a very interesting concept to use the word siipai, this expression, like you have a siif in Shulchan Aruch. There are siifim. There it's spelled the samach, right. But the samach and the sin are interchangeable.
Eliyahu says, "How long are you going to?"
Pasach Hashnei Siifim, two sides,
two
machshavos,
two ways of thought.
But literally, the word siif means a branch. It means a branch, and it's an interesting idea that a branch is the extension. It means like the extension of the mind. You can go this way, you can go that way. It's a thought. A thought is an approach that comes out of the mind. So here he says, here Sofer is saying, I'm all worked up. My blood pressure is off the charts. Therefore, after listening to Eve, after listening to this dialogue between you and your friends, Siipai Yishivuni, my thoughts force me to respond. I can't control myself. Uva Avur, get to the page here. Chushivi, due to my chush, my senses that are within me, I have no choice but to respond. Let's look at them in this pasuk base. Lachain vavur marbis tivarech, due to the abundance of your words. Hine. So hine, we're adding in words into the pasuk. Lachain therefore. Lachain means therefore what? Therefore listening to all of this nonsense coming out of your mouth, Eof. Hine machshav oisai, my thoughts. That's the translation of siipai. Yachrichu oisi, forces me. L'chashiv l'cha, to respond. V'yal kiyesh bihergish meruba. Why? What's the reason? Why are my thoughts forcing me to respond to your nonsense? It's because I have a passion. Sofer Hanamosi, from the three friends, seems to express a very great degree of passion. Now you can psychoanalyze. Very good idea for a PhD thesis in psychology to psychoanalyze the three friends. Try to figure out what kind of personalities they have. Look at the type of responses, the words that they say. Are they cold? Maybe could very well be that one person was very cold and very, and one person was a very passionate, hot-tempered person. It appears over here that Sofer Hanamosi is a very passionate person, full of emotion. He actually says, he says that I am Vavur Chushivi. I have Hergish. I have feeling. I'm not sure that we found this expression by the other friends, this idea that they speak with a degree of passion. Okay, but he says over here, I have much passion, lachush, to feel, ulaharigish, bidvar hachlima, to be sensitive to the insult that you, Eoiv, are casting against us. Ratzalaymar, each one is playing the, is blaming the other. Ratzalaymar, bavur marbis devarecha, due to your words, bavur marbis hirgashti, oshiv loch, due to the abundance of your words and the abundance of my feeling, I am sensitive to your insult. That's why oshiv loch, I respond to you. So seemingly, according to the interpretation of the Mitzudos, Sofer was insulted. He took Eov's harsh response personally. Just like Eov says to his friends that you're going to suffer, you're going to burn. You're going to suffer big time for insulting me. So Sofer says, and you're not insulting us. You're not insulting our intelligence. You're not telling us that we're crazy. We also feel insulted. We have to remember, Rav Shab said, that this event took place in front of a large audience. This was like a town hall meeting that was televised all over the world. And when Eov presented outrageous accusations, how could you not be insulted? Karl Rove says that Hillary Clinton has brain damage in front of the whole world over and over. I mean, it's just like outrageous, right? I mean, like, so think about it. The whole world is listening to you. And you're like, where do you come to say such thing? Like, what are you, my doctor? That's really what he's saying over here. Eov is telling the three friends that you're out of your mind. You've lost it. So he's saying, I'm insulted. And because I'm insulted, this I'm a hot-tempered person. I have no choice but to respond to you in kind. Rashi, Pasuk Beis, Si Ipai, Yeshivuni, Machshavoisai, Yeshivuni, Mane Lepi. My thoughts force words to come to my mouth. Uva Avur Shani Chosh, Vishoisek, Vesanti bi shiti kusi yeshivuni si pilonas, because I am chosh, I am sensitive, and I'm quiet, and vesanti bi, and I'm attempting to be quiet. Vesanti bi shiti kusi yeshivuni si pilonas. I'm quiet, I'm listening to your insult. My mind is working. My mind does not take lightly the fact that my mouth is quiet and it receives this insult being cast my way. Therefore, my thoughts provoke me to respond. I hear from you a sharp insult. You are putting me to shame. The alkane, therefore, devaruach yaneni mibinasi lehashivcha. Therefore, there are words of spirit from my understanding force me to respond to these insulting words. I'm sitting here, I'm quiet, and I'm being insulted, and my mind can't take it anymore. My mind cannot bear to watch my mouth remain silent and accept insult from you, Eov. I have no choice then but to respond. Chushi shitikusi. It means my silence. This is not the way the Mitsudo Stava learns the word chushi. He learns chush means loshna hergish, feeling, emotion. Here he's translating the letter chushi means shitikusi kmo es lachashoyts. There is a time to be quiet in Koheles. So, basically, it's the same idea of avur chushi vi, due to the fact that I'm silent. I'm silent, and meaning I'm a victim. Being silent means you're a victim of insult. It's an expression. I'm a victim of insult, and my mind is observing this, and it comes to a certain point in time where you can't take it anymore. And therefore my mind breaks forth, and my mind here is called Si'ipai, it breaks forth with words of response. Yeshivuni, it responds to the defense of my mouth, of the fact that I am quiet. Now what are my words? Here we go. He never elaborates much more. Musar kilimosi eshma, the rebuke of my shame. Two words really go together. Kilimosi means my shame. The shame that has come because you have given me rebuke, have have rebuked me. Eshmai, listen. The ruach mibi nasi aneni, and the spirit that comes out of my understanding yaaneni forced me to answer. This is a repetition. It's come out the same exact thing that it said in the previous pasuk. Pasuk gimel lemitzudos musa kilimasig al ki eshmai yisui klima, because I'm listening to sharp, painful insult. Mashata machlimosi ulazed, therefore haratzon mehavon aslibi, it is a desire from the understanding of my heart. Yachrichu osi, forces me lahashiv loch, to respond to you. Rashi pasadal hazos yodata mini ad. Now he goes on, here's his response. Don't you know this? Is this yodata, do you not know, mini ad, from time immemorial, mini from sim adam ale aretz, from the time that min has been created upon the earth? He's now saying, I'm telling you something which is obvious, which is self-understood, it's known from the beginning of time. The mitzvah pasuk dalet hazos imo emesu asher zos yodata. What is he trying to say? What's the deep meaning of these words? The following thing I'm about to tell you, you cannot deny. You cannot deny the fact that we'll see that basically Rishoyim do not survive. Someone who is a Rasha is ultimately destroyed. There's no such thing as Tzadik the Tovlo. We have another expression in Shmuel Alf. It's something which is revealed to the entire world. Something which is true from min ha'olam forever. From the time Hashem created men upon earth, the following thing I'm about to tell you is absolutely 100% true. So the moment of the pasuk dal, it is hazos yodata. The following thing, it's certain that you know, mini from ad, from f forever, from the beginning of time. What do we mean from the beginning of time? When did time begin? Time began when mini from sim adam ale aretz, the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put man upon the earth. Rashi pasuk dal, it hazos tema tema. Hazos is the tema. It's a question. Hayodea ta mida hamahaleches al pnei kol hadoros miniad. Don't you know the following thing which exists from the time of creation? Now, what is the following thing? Is Rashi mitzulus? What is now? He goes on to explain. Kirinas rishaim mikarov. The joy of a rasha is recent. Now, this is an expression. It means it's short lived. The rasha was not happy from the beginning of time. If we find that a Rasha is in a state of happiness, it means it just happened. It happened very recently. Because it cannot possibly be that the Rasha is happy back 1,000 years and he's still happy. Because the happiness of the Rasha does not last very long. The Rinas Rasha Mikarov, it's recent. The Simchas Chonef, the joy of the flatterer, another word for a Rasha, Ade Roga, only lasts a moment. Pasuk Vav, Im Yale LaShemayim Co. If a Rasha's success ascends all the way until heaven, the word Co means to be elevated. Im Yale LaShemayim Co, his elevation to its peak. If it reaches the peak, Virosho Loav Yagia. Even if his head reaches the clouds, he is his head is in the clouds. Mm-hmm. Don't worry. The Rasha's success will not last forever. The end will be Kigelilo Lanetzach Yuvat. He will turn into excrement, into nothingness forever. Golol is waste. There's nothing more despised in this world than a waste product. So, like his excrement, forever will he be destroyed. Roav, those people that once upon a time saw him, now when they think about him, Yomu, they'll say, Ayo, where is this person? Let's take a look at these two psukim. These three psukim. Pasuk Stav, Pasuk Hebel, the Mitzvah Stavit. Kirinas, Asher, Simchas HaRashayim Hi Mizman Korov. The joy of the Rasha is only a recent phenomenon. It's not, does not last very long. If we find that a Rasha is successful try to check the records. How long has the Russia been successful? Can't possibly be that it's been going on for a very long time, because that's not the way the world works. Mizman kolv kilot tasmid lizman raf. It cannot be that it will last for a long time. People will say that this Russia has been successful for decades. Adrega, and the success of a chonef also only lasts for a moment. Rotzulaymar. Tisakev, the future is short. Tisakev zman muat, the kofel hadavar b'milo shonos. This idea is repeated in different words. Basically means that it has a short past, and it has a very, does not have a forecast of lasting very long into the future. Next words, im yale, af im yiskabar v'yale govho ad la'shamayim, even if we find that the Rosh's success reaches the heavens, the Rosh, his head yagia ad la'ovim, reaches the clouds, v'moshol l'godel hatzlacha, represents extreme success, don't worry, it's not going to last very long. Kiglalo, hine chish maher yoiv ad la'netzach, very quickly will he be destroyed forever. Kiglalo, ho'avuda, just like his excrement, which is destroyed very quickly, va'ad olam, and forever, v'asher ro'ehu behatzlachos. So anyone that once upon a time witnessed him in his success, Yom will say now, ayehu, will ask the question, what has become of the Russia? Ki lo yishar lo zoch zecher ma, there will be nothing remaining of him. Now this pasuk, by the way, is a very famous Gemara. What is this Gemara? The Gemara talks about, if I'm not mistaken, it was... Okay, but who was it? I forgot. It was one of the Amoraim, maybe it was one of the Tanoim. When they walked into the Beis Medrash, everyone stood up. Can you imagine the whole cloud? Shall you come to a big event, and they walk in, the big Rosh Yeshiva walks in, and the whole cloud Yisrael stands up, and they start singing all the different songs of giving on. So this Tanu Amor, he said when he walked in, they gave him covered, he thought about these psukim in Sefer Yof. That's what he was thinking about. He said to himself, "Im yale lashamayim seal." Look at what he said about himself. I'm thinking now about himself. Look at this. I'm walking into a big stadium, seeing Hashas. I'm getting up, and they're all singing on my behalf. They're all thinking about me. My success has reached the highest of heavens.
Which one thought that?
One of the Tanaim and Amoraim. It's either a Tanaim and Amoraim. Maybe it was Rebbe. Maybe it was Rav. V'roishoy lo'ov yagia. V'roishoy, look, my head has reached the cloud. So this Tano, maybe it was Rav, Rebbe said, I know that this is nonsense. Kovoid is futile. It is worthless. Ki gelilo, this kovoid that they're giving me is nothing. Has no more value than waste. Human waste. Asher lonetzach yoyvei, that it is discarded forever. Royov, and the day will come. The day will come when they'll think back at this event, and they'll think about me, and they'll say about me, Royov, Yomru, they'll say, ah, yeah, what became of him? He's gone. He's off, disappeared. There's no record he ever existed. So these are powerful psuk in that we find in the Gemara, the Gedolei Yisrael would constantly think about when they received honor, a way to recognize there's no such thing as honor in this world. A person is gone. I was just talking about something about pictures. We were talking about different Gedolei Yisrael. They did not allow themselves to be photographed. What? There are many Gedolim. They're doing also. So one of the reasons I'll pick Kabbalah is because they can be in Yannick Kabbalah. But one of the ideas is that is this idea is that, what do you want to take a picture of me? You want to preserve me. You want to. I'm important enough that I should be seen. That I should be preserved. What's the purpose of a picture? It's honor. It's honor. Even a small amount of honor. I'm not going to be around forever. I'm going to be gone. My neshama is going to go to the next world. My body will decompose. So this that you're taking a picture of me, it's a form of honor. It's not healthy for my neshama that I, in my mind, I should think that I'm going to be around forever and there's going to be something worth preserving of my neshama. Because it's not so. The neshama goes to the next world and there's nothing left in this world. V'royov, those that see me, It's mamash, it fits very well into this generation where you talk about pictures and videos. The roy of people that at this point in time you see me and what you're seeing is so important that you want to preserve it. You can't preserve it. It's nonsense. It's sheker to preserve anything in this world. The roy of Yoimru, the day will come when they will say ayo. That is the world of reality. A picture is sheker. You're trying to say that this event, this moment is going to be preserved forever. That's not so. There's nothing in this world of Gashmi that's preserved forever. The neshama leaves. And by taking a picture, it's a sheker to make believe that the Royov will not one day say ayoy. They'll have it here. Okay, so the answer is, the reason why is because the inspiration, that you have to go and inspire the people, you have to report, and you have to use your, the honor is a means of encouraging other people. But of course, I mean, today no one, all public figures today, it's part of the job. If you accept upon yourself to be a public figure, it's part of the job that you're going to be photographed, you're going to be recorded, you're going to be looked at, that's part of the job. But there's something to it. The person has to recognize that when he leaves this world, there's nothing left of him. I think in Kelm was the greatest Muslim yeshivas. The custom there was that when they died, they did not write anything on the matseva. There was a headstone, there was a stone to mark this is a place where a person is buried. So someone that comes in contact should be careful, should be nizim laws of Tumah. But you want to write down the name of the person. Why should you write down the name of the person? The person's not here anymore, the person is in the next world. When you want to preserve the person on this world, that's sheker. There's nothing that's really left of a person in this world. His neshama goes to the next world. Now, Bizman Hazel, of course, we don't do that. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, Rav Dessler, when he was nifter, he instructed his family that Rav Dessler was a product of Kelm. And he instructed his family that when he dies, they should not write anything on the matseva, a blank matseva. And after he was nifter, his family wanted to do, and they consulted first with, I don't remember who it was, one of the Gedolei Yisrael, and he said to them that there's no one in this generation that appreciates the true Musar of Kelm, so forget about it. You write for your father a nice, dignified matseva. We're not living in a generation anymore where people really relate to what true Musar is all about. But when you talk about the words of Musar, of Kavod, I mean, these psukim are often discussed, and it's Royov Yoimru Ayo, people that once upon a time saw this individual, they will say, where is he? By trying to preserve yourself in this world, by any means, you're trying to deny the truth of this pasuk. This is true. These words are true. Anything you do in this world to preserve yourself is a denial of these words. Of course not. We're not on a madrega. Of course not. We have to. Of course. Of course, because we're not on a level where we are to the depth of what these words mean. But when the Gemara talks about kavod and the recognition that there's no such thing as kavod and the person is no more than I mean, how more powerful can you describe a person in such words? Galolim is the most disgusting. People that they see if a dog defecates, it's disgusting. Alachas kamvakamba, human waste is even more disgusting. And how long is it? How long? It's not just for today, tomorrow. It's lanetzach. It's forever. Royov yoimu ayo. To preserve yourself is a denial of these psukim. In fact, it goes into Kirinas Rasha Mikar Vesimchas Chonef Emyale Lashemayim Isir Vereshal Loav Yagia. This always strikes me when I hear this. Like, today I work in computers part time, and now there's a new technology called cloud technology. Amazon invented this a couple of years ago, which cloud hosting, where everything today, I'm sure you've all heard, is it used to be. Let's say, for example, I'll just give you an example. It used to be you install Word for Windows. So you buy a CD and you install the program on your computer. It's stored locally on your hard drive. If you have a website, it's stored on a server. Everything is local. Today, then all the new technology today is where nothing is stored anymore locally on your hard drive. Everything is stored in what's called a cloud. When you want to write a document on a document, the program is not on your computer. You connect through a browser to the cloud, and the cloud has the latest version of Word, and the software is, it's on a cloud. Everyone is connecting to that cloud. It has a lot of advantages because the main advantage, it's scalable. And anytime there's an update, it's automatically updated. You don't have to keep on updating things that are stored locally. So today we live in a generation, there's a new concept today, and you hear this word more and more, of the cloud. All of your data is stored in the cloud. It represents man's success and technology in optimization, scalability, and the main word that's the main advantage.
Is it Galileo? It's like Galileo cloud, or it's a good stuff.
The main advantage is there's no limits, scalability. When you have something is stored locally, you're limited. When you use a technology, cloud technology, the key word is it's scalable. It's unlimited. There's no limit to how far you can go, and that's okay. That's really just strikes me that there's some type of connection that we're living in the Dorek Sedem Shicha. We're coming to a Madrega where we think that there's no limit to what we could accomplish. The Gaiva Chutzpah Yaske. All right, let's go further. Kachaloyim Yof. This everyone knows is pasuk from the Yom Leram. A person's life is like a dream. Like a dream does it fly away, velo yimtsu. A person will not achieve his desires. V'yudad, it will be pushed away. Kichezion lila, like the vision of night. When a person wakes up, the visions that he has and the thoughts he has at night, they just disappear so quickly, most of the time you can't even remember what you thought about. That is what happens to a Rasha. A Rasha's success is no different than a dream, a fleeting dream that just disappears, dissipates when the person wakes up. Pasuk Ches in the Mitzudo Stavit Kachaloyim, Taharehu, the Rasha is like Kachaloyim Ashayof Be'esik Hikitsa. When he wakes up, Kein Yo'uf Chumino, he disappears from the world. The hadarshim acharav, those that seek the Rasha, lo yimtsu, will not find him. Rashi pasakei kirinas v'sham kol yimei ha'yosah mikarav ba v'lo la'orich yamim yamod. The Rasha is recent. He's a recent. His existence is only new, and he does not last very long. V'simchas chaneif adi rega b'sman mua tichla the chaneif, he disappears quickly. Sio govo, his success. Ki gelilo gilal shel rei, human waste. V'lo yimtzu, Yodav, his friends will not find him. Okay, that concludes pasuk up to pasuk tes. We'll stop here. Pasuk tes is where we will stop.